good morning. I'm from Youth for Christ. I'm Paul McMurchie. You've met Tessa and Jeffrey before. Jeffrey spoke here a few weeks ago. They're moving to Cape and Ray. They're getting married and leaving me behind in Nanaimo. So I'm going to be all by myself working with a bunch of youth. Not really, but I have somewhere around 25 volunteers to help me. Praise the Lord. We've really been blessed in the last few years. I was a businessman for 30 years and ran a business in Ontario, and God blessed that, and I moved out here and God blessed it again, but my heart wasn't in it. There was something changed, and God moved me out here, he had moved me out here for a different purpose. I had been involved a bit with youth when I was in Ontario. I ran a bit of a youth group. We grew it from about 8 kids up to, I think, 30 or 40 kids in a small town called Uxbridge, Ontario, if anybody knows. Does anybody know Uxbridge? Yeah. So I lived in Stouffville at Musselman's Lake. So that's where I lived. And so the picture you're looking at right now, this is actually our start, but 2 years in. What we did when we came to Nanaimo in ministry, I started, my daughter was working for Youth for Christ. When she came out of Cape and Ray, they found her and they wanted her because she could preach and she was only 19. But her heart, that's Tessa, that's right. And if you've heard Tessa preach, you know she can preach. I don't know where she gets it from, but you know, it's probably from her mother. It's awesome. But she's there right in the front center on the right. And we run this little group. It's called My Faith Journey. And My Faith Journey is a 16-week class, but it works out to like 25 or 30 weeks because we do lots of other things. And we work with a bunch of the kids from the high schools, mostly. Some kids that come in from churches as well. But probably 80% of the kids in the group are just kids that come in from high school. And in the high school, the kids are just kids we meet through games clubs. We do games clubs in the high schools. In the public schools, we do breakfast clubs. So we've actually, if I just hit space bar, does this advance? So this is sort of what's been happening. It's been growing. Now, this is a youth group at Departure Bay Baptist, but probably 3/4 of these kids are actually kids that have just come from the public school for where we're working with the kids there, doing breakfast clubs. We do things like this. You know, we torture kids. They love it, actually. You know, it's amazing. The more you torture them, the more they love it. So we've just kept this up, you know. We do this kind of thing. And, we wrapped them up in toilet paper. I don't know why they love that so much, but it seems to be a big one. It's a hit, right? And I know you guys see lots of kids here on the island, I'm sure, because I saw at Cape and Ray you had, I don't know, 18 or 19 or 20 kids that went down with you. So I see that they're not mostly here this morning, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing because they're still part of your church, right? They're coming here, they're part of what you're doing, and they're excited about it, and they're so excited they're going places with you. You know, and in 10 years, they'll probably half of them will be sitting here. That's good. You know, it's the way it works. But this is another one of our outreaches we do. We started this. This is St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church on Departure Bay Road in Nanaimo. And we started a ball hockey thing, and now we have 15, 20 kids that come out to that sort of semi-regularly. And now the high school at Nanaimo District Secondary School has asked us to come and do one there. So they've given us a tennis court on the school property. It's awesome because we are Christians and they know we're Christians and they want our help. So praise the Lord. The one thing they did ask is they said, please don't proselytize the kids. So whatever that word means. But, you know, anyway, it's all good because we just take them other places and proselytize them. It's great. So praise the Lord. So, and we put them to work too. You know, we make them dig. It's good. Makes calluses on their hands. They go home dirty. Their parents know they've been somewhere important. You know, it's good. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a little kind of a background of what we're doing, you know, in Nanaimo and a little bit here by the looks of things, too. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord moves in mighty ways. And, you know, this morning's sermon is on faithfulness and on faith, the two things that are part of God's character. God's character is built on faithfulness. The word chesed, which is a Hebrew word for love in the Old Testament, is the word for love, and it means his faithfulness, his goodness, and his loving kindness. So that's God's character, because we know God is love, right? So we know that God is faithful, we know that he's good, and that he's kind. Those are wonderful things to know about God, right? Like, that's not the God a lot of people serve out in the world. You know, the worldly gods don't love them back, right? They make you serve them, but they don't serve you. Where our God, he serves us. That's a beautiful thing. That's a crazy thought, that God serves us. So that's something today that I just brought up I told myself I wasn't going to say this morning, so my mom's counting. But, yeah, so there I did it again. Anyway, I'll try not to focus on that. So this is God's promise in the Old Testament to his people. And God's promise is to us as well. I'm just going to read this out of its in context. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. This is Deuteronomy 7. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord has set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, I don't know about you, but if you count 1,000 generations, that's like 3,500 years. Actually, it's more than that, 35,000 years. You know, I don't know when Jesus is returning, but God's love is going to be way longer than that. You know, we're only 5,000 or 6,000 years, you know, after God made this promise to us. So this promise is for us and our children's children. This promise continues forever. Now, the whole point of this verse for me in this sermon is that it talks about his faithfulness. Because God's character is faithfulness, he requires those he's created in his image to live as he lives, right? We're made with faithfulness in our heart. That's our perfected, created state, is faithfulness, goodness, and loving kindness. Now, what does the word faithfulness mean? And this is a challenge for many of us, I think, is really to understand this word faithfulness. So faithfulness is, well, we know faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is, let's see if I had that here. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So faith is something that you believe in that you can't see, right? Like, your salvation is one thing that you live in by faith. You can't see it. You know, we don't know what happens after except by faith, right? Jesus rose again, and even that we only believe by faith because we believe that this is true. This could be all made up. So even that, we have to live by faith. We have to live each and every walk of our life by faith. The problem is the flesh, our body, our mind, our living soul here on earth fights against this thing. Okay? The flesh wants us to live by sight, by work, you know, by hard work, getting ahead, strength, you know, creates a competitive world we live in, right? Even in the schools, you know, like I talked to a lot of kids about their lives in school. We just had a girl just recently who decided she was going to try and take her life. And it was a pretty sad situation because we've been working with her for a while. But some of the things that she mentioned were about her parents. You know, that her parents didn't love each other. This was the number one thing for her. The next thing she talked about was that her mom's boyfriend was, she hated him, and her mom wouldn't tell him to go away. You know, so this is life that she's living, right? Inside of this world of hurt. The next thing she talks about is that she's really stressed out at school. So, you know, this is the environment that a lot of the kids today are living in. You probably know some, right? You might be those kids yourselves. You know, I grew up as a child very distressed, and I tried to commit suicide when I was 19 years old. So I understand that. I understand the pain she feels. And, you know, she can't see anything but this world that she's living in, right? That today is a challenge, I think, for every one of us here, right? Like, we really, you know, we see this world, you know, if your house burns down, you know, I don't know what the insurance was we were talking about earlier, but, you know, if something like that happens in your life really comes crashing down sometimes, right? You know, if you can't get a job and you don't have enough food to eat or whatever it is, you know, these are very, you know, serious things. And by, you know, in our flesh, we get really stressed out and hurt by these types of events in our life. But God's faithfulness is a part of us that He gives us. And you have it in you because He created you that way. You might not be living that way, but you have it within you. And that's the thing that we need to find. We need to find God's character within us. God comes to us in power through His Holy Spirit. You know, He shows us who He is, right? He shows us His faithfulness. I heard that a number of times here this morning. You know, I really love this little church because it reminds me of a little church that I spent many years of my life in. And we did just what you did this morning. We had this wonderful little family prayer time. You know, now I work in churches that are big and, you know, I don't yet, we miss out on that stuff. You know, you miss that family environment. So, you know, but God's faithfulness can come through little things like those prayers, right? It can come through, you know, somebody helping somebody else in the church. God's faithfulness can come to you by giving you a job like Sky got to not too long ago, I heard, and got his first paycheck. You know, that's the way God works, right? God meets us where we need Him, okay? Maybe through other people. What gets in the way of faith, though? What are some things? Could you name a couple things that get in the way of faith?
Self-want.
Self-want, okay.
The devil.
The devil, for sure. He wants us to be running afraid all the time, for sure.
Fear.
Fear, yeah, fear.
Pride.
Pride's a big one.
Numbers.
Numbers, okay. How do you mean that? Yeah, okay, good. That's right. You know, a big one for me is pride. You know, I mean, when we were young, we didn't ask for help. You know, in fact, if you asked for help, it was a weakness, wasn't it? Like, if you've experienced this, it's a weakness. You know, being a strong guy, I want to get ahead. I see it in my son now. You know, I was that way a lot more then. In fact, becoming a minister has been a massive change for me, okay? Because I used to make six figures, and now I don't make six figures. That's the best way to say it, right? So, you know, you need to learn to trust people with your life. You know, you need to learn to trust that God will work through other people to strengthen you and support you. Let me see what verse I have here afterwards. Okay, so a little further on in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a statement, and this important statement I woke up with not too long ago. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So how does that make you feel in your life right now? Like, do you feel that you're being pleasing to God? Are you living by faith? Is that a choice that you're making every day? I don't. I'm going to be honest here, you know, like, and I haven't in the past, you know, like when I was in business, and I'm sure this is why God changed what I was doing, because I was becoming reliant on my wealth, so much so that I had to give a lot of it away when I moved away from doing business, because it was corrupting the way we lived. You know, I could buy whatever I wanted whenever I wanted it. I could do whatever I wanted. I had the ability, right? And all of that was coming from my own resources and my own wealth. I wasn't needing other people anymore. This is a scary place to get, you see. And this is why it's so hard, if not impossible, for rich people to come to Christ. And it isn't impossible with God. It's very possible with God. All things are possible. But this wealth corrupts the soul, right? And I'm not just talking like financial wealth. It could be just, you know, it could be really anything in your life that's important to you and bigger than God in your life. So faithfulness is required for our salvation. Even to become a Christian, you have to make a statement of faith. You know, Court's getting up and giving her short little testimony, but many more testimonies that I've heard in the quiet. Just is a testimony of God in her life, at work, moving, changing her, changing us, because we know her. You know, how important is your testimony this morning? Every day that you can talk to somebody about what God is doing in your life, it's a powerful day. You know, in a few weeks, I've been asked to speak on evangelism at First Baptist Church. And I think we try to put it in this box. You know, we try to say, you know, the Lord, you know, somebody has to repent of their sins. Somebody has to ask Jesus into their life. Somebody has, you know, we try to put it into this pattern of events. But really, your testimony is salvation to people. When they receive God by faith, Jesus says, even the smallest mustard seed of faith, right? When they receive God by faith, they're receiving a piece of the Holy Spirit in their life right there and then. You know, the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit, right? Filled with the Spirit. That means we cannot be filled with the Spirit, right? The transverse, you know, the opposite is always true as well. So, you know, walking in the Spirit means walking in faith, right? Galatians 5 and 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is essential as part of our faith. It's essential because it is the outpouring of God's Spirit through us into the people around us. Now, faithfulness has got another component to it that I believe if people could get a hold of this, it would change their lives, change mine. It has changed it. It's changing it still. And that's the ability to see beyond what's in front of you. Okay? Where does that matter? So let's say somebody pays too much for a set of glasses. Okay? Let's say somebody pays too much for a set of glasses. Okay? And when they meet that person afterwards who maybe took advantage of them, can they love them? Can they love them? Can you love beyond the hurt? See, that's the faith, right? Faith is seeing the goodness in people when there's no goodness in front of you, right? They're good because God made them good. He made them in His image. He made them beautiful. You know, as a parent, this is a beautiful thing, okay? Because there's lots of times when my kids, I mean, Tessa's my youngest, so she's 22 now, but when they were younger, I'll tell you, they were bad. You know, I'm looking at them, I want to kill them sometimes, you know, because I come home, my wife was in tears, my son was standing there with pride on his face, you know, he'd taken advantage of his mother all day, you know, and she said, can you hold him down so I can take advantage of him for a few minutes. But you know, when you see that boy, and then you say, you know what, you're a good boy. That's far more powerful, isn't it? If you've worked with kids or dogs, my dog loves that too, by the way. But if you've worked with kids and you say, you know what, you're a good boy. You're a good boy, or you're a good girl. Even if they've just been really bad, you know, it does something to them. It changes them inside. And that's what God does to us. That's the beauty of it, right? God doesn't see us in our broken, down, terrible, evil state. He doesn't see us. He sees us as his beautiful, gorgeous children that we're intended to be. And he made that so important that he sent his son Jesus to accomplish that. Right? That's the power of the blood of Jesus right there. Okay? It allows God the Father to overlook everything that you've done that's evil in this room. It allows God to be faithful according to his character. Right? And that's the character that he's built into us. This faith character. It's the very thing that we can have that will please God. Let's see what my next verse was. Did I have? Oh, okay. I'm not going to even go there. I'm just going to avoid this whole thing because it's a long thing. Okay. There's more. Another day's sermon there, okay? I love this scripture here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does that mean for you this morning? What do you think that means? Does anybody want to take a shot at that?
People are not enemies.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I missed that. What you
said? People are not my enemy?
Right.
Yeah.
Battle's always in the unseen.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You know, being an evangelist, as an evangelist, you have to be able to look past the person you're looking at. You have to be able to see something glorious in anyone that you come in contact with. And then you have to love them with the love of Christ. The same love that is faithful, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness. You know, like if so, you know, I tell you, there's a friend, my wife works at Bella Nails in Nanaimo. I don't know if anybody knows where that is. Her boss's daughter just got charged with accessory to murder because she was going out with Hell's Angel, and he murdered somebody. So she got caught up in that. It's pretty serious. Yeah. I think she's probably going to get off, from what I understand. But when you look at somebody like a Hell's Angel, can you look at them and love them with the love of Jesus? It's terrible, you know. It's a hard thing. You know, one of the things we do, I've partnered with four churches. Five really, I guess, maybe more, but four anyway. And we bring in kids that aren't Christian kids into these youth groups. And it's interesting to see what happens, because sometimes the youth groups pull back. You know, sometimes the parents pull their kids out. This is a crazy thing that happens, actually, because they're protecting their kids from other kids that they've seen things in them that aren't good things. Right? And you know what? I can understand that a little bit.
Isn't that self-sabotage?
Sorry?
Isn't that self-sabotage?
Well, I wish you were there to give your testimony. Yeah, I wish you were. But, you know, this is the world that I'm living in, because, you know, we bring in kids. These kids are broken down, you know. Some of them have been drug dealers. Some of them are, stoned when they come. You know, some of them are thieves, you know, all of which I was. Okay? But a lot of these Christian kids have grown up in a Christian environment, and they can't, and they're not, you know, they've gone to the Christian school, they only have Christian friends. You know, so when this non-Christian person that comes in that says a swear word with them probably within the first 5 minutes, you know, that's actually a problem, isn't it? Like, there's like, it's like oil and water. So they, you know, the parents get all in an uproar, you know. Well, you know, this is, I love your heart, okay? I love your heart because it's my heart. But the reality of it is, this is the world we live in, right? We've separated ourselves. We've taken the Christian kids. There's almost no. I love having courts at the Nanaimo District Secondary School, and you know, I love, you know, seeing Blaine there at Barsby when he was going there, because these are kids that, you know, love the Lord and they're in the world, and I think long term they're actually stronger. Long term, in the short term, they're not stronger because it's hard, you know, and sometimes they slip and swear, you know, or do stuff that's stupid or whatever, get involved with the wrong people, and it draws them out. But walking by faith, it makes them stronger. Okay, if they can learn to walk by faith, if they can learn to live for Christ, if they can learn to love the way He loved, in that environment where it's hostile, then they're going to be evangelists. It's natural. And that's what God's called us to be, right? So we really do have to take on this faithful attitude. And faithfulness isn't just loyalty, you know, which is, I think, how we sometimes paint it. You know, if you're going to be faithful to your wife, you're not going to fool around on her. Actually, what faithfulness means is not that. What faithfulness means is when you come home and she's angry with you, then I'm talking to me too here, and she tears a strip off you because you didn't call her for 3 days when you were on a business trip. Okay? You know, I can now see past that anger in faith and say she's a child of God. She loves God. She's loved by God. And she loves me. And that's why she's mad. So now I can understand the anger. Right? It helps us when we walk by faith, because then we can see things that are beyond the problem. Right? You can be sitting in this little church going, oh, it's a little church, or, you know, I hope we're missing a few people this week or whatever, you know, and that can bring you down, okay? But you can also look at this little church and you go, man, we're a beacon, okay? We're the power of God in our neighborhood, in this community. We can go and tear down the walls of His injustice with the power of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
The main
event's
out there.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You've got it. You've got it. You know, this is a place where we come together and we celebrate and we, you know, do a little bit of headbanging to make sure we got a good plan. Right? And then we get out there and we change lives. I think your youth group is a sign of that working, honestly. They're not here, but you're impacting. You're impacting the community. You know, that little prayer room in there is a war room. You saw that movie? That was a great movie. Want to see a good movie, the war room? You know, the power of God overcomes these wrestles against, you know, these powers and principalities that we live in. And they're real, by the way. They're very, very, very real. I've got one boy in my youth group. What time am I finished? Okay. I've got a boy in my youth group, okay? He comes and he says he's got two demons on his shoulders. Okay? And he says if they go away, he dies. And he believes that. Like, you can tell, he's telling you the truth. He's scared to death of these two demons. And I prayed for him 3 weeks ago. I prayed, Lord, help Darren to want to get rid of these demons. Help him to want to get rid of these demons. He wasn't ready for me to, you know, share the gospel with him because he didn't think he was ready, right? He wasn't ready. He wouldn't have done it Because these two demons, he was relying on these two demons, whatever they are. You know, I can all, and he's got, it's funny, because he's got autism, and when I first met him, I tell this story quite a bit because it's pretty powerful. But when I first met him, he just, every other word was a swear word, every other word. And he was angry, and he was, he'd hurt you, like he'd hurt people. He'd run up and hit you with something, any chance he could get. He came to the ball hockey I showed you earlier there, and then on rainy days, we do it in the basement of a little church, not much of a bigger room than this, maybe 30% longer. And then, it was Easter, and I said, well, I'm going to share a little message with you. I don't do this very often, but Easter is the most important time for Christians. So I just want this opportunity to share a message with you. And so Darren's like, oh, I don't need this effing crap, and a lot more than that. But, you know, that's where it was going. And I said, well, Darren, just settle down. You can go outside if you want to, if you can't handle it. Anyway, he shut up for a minute. And then at the end of it, after I finished talking, and he said quite a few other things, I said, we're just going to say a little prayer. So I bend down, I'm saying a prayer, and I keep getting hit in the head by ping pong balls. He's whipping balls at me, right? Anyway, about 4 months later, his teachers came to me and said, we don't know what you're doing to this kid, but he's totally different. Totally different. This is in the school, right? Like, we can teach him now. We couldn't teach him before, right? This is the same kid, right? It was just, I think he lost like 20 demons, actually. You know, I think they're slowly falling off of him. Praise the Lord. You know, and now he comes to Bible study regularly. He's always there. In fact, I had to kick him out of one church because he hurt a kid there. But it was okay because we have three other churches we could take him into, so it's good, right? So he gets to learn a lesson and still get a message, right? It's good. But you know what? He's really coming a long way. And he said to me the other day, he said, Paul, we need to get together to pray. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Lord's touching his life, you know. And everybody else had thrown him in the garbage, honestly. They had. They were beyond it. Even his mom. She couldn't deal with him. She just kicked him out of the house all the time. And he was running in the streets, causing trouble, digging into, you know. But we can make that kind of an impact on people's lives if we really care about them. But that's the whole key. You have to be willing to sacrificially care for people. It's going to cost you something. Sorry? Yeah. 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 And it cost him everything. You know, you can't win a soul without a cost. You can't. The soul's worth too much. So, you know, are you willing to give something up important for somebody else? And that's a step of faith again, right? You have to step out in faith, believing that what you're throwing away or giving away or sharing or losing or getting stolen, you know, some of these people will steal from you. Can you still love them after they do it? It's a challenge, right? Society won't do it. They won't trust them. You know, if you get caught stealing at work, you're fired. It's just the way it is. Right? But the church can't be that way, you see. We have to be different. We have to love beyond that. We have to love people to Christ. And loving people to Christ has a cost to it. And it takes faith. It takes faith. It takes faithfulness. You know, that faith that it never stops coming. James 1:6, but let him who ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. James 1:6. This is an awesome verse because, you know, and there's been all this argument actually between Paul and James. You know, I just finished my graduate diploma at Regent College, and I had to write this 3,000 word assignment on Paul versus James, right? Like there's a versus there? I don't, there really isn't. They're just coming at it from different angles. But the beauty of this verse is that it makes us realize that faith isn't just saying a prayer and hoping. You know, faith isn't just, you know, sitting by the side hoping something's going to happen. Faith means you get in the middle of the fray. You get in the middle of the brokenness. You know, you take the step you need to take to accomplish this. If people would get this, I think that marriages would be better. You know, relationships would be better. I think there'd be a lot more Christians out there. Because the vast majority of Christians, I hate to say it, actually don't live by faith. You know, marriages are breaking down in the church just as frequently, if not more frequently, than in the world. You know, we watch the kids go by and we don't do anything. You know, one of my letters I wrote about a kid who walked in front of me and gave me the finger on the crosswalk in front of me, and my heart said, "Well, Lord, what happened to that kid today? You know, who beat up on him?" Like, I felt, you know, I just felt that my heart just went out for him, right? You know, I wrote that down, and then I got one of the biggest sponsors I've ever had. He said, "I read that, and I thought, man, you need help." So, I do need help. I do need help. Thank you, Jesus. It's good. It's good. I don't know if that's not all coming up there. But this is, it's in Hebrews 12. It says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Yeah, who here has shed blood for the gospel? Oh, yeah, nobody put up their hand yet, eh? None of us here have shed blood for the gospel. Does that shock you a little bit? Like, that's the very core of our gospel. Yeah, it hasn't cost us a whole lot. Yeah, Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you want to get, you know, read that. That'll wake you up. But, you know, it doesn't need to be bloodshed, but it does need to cost you something. It has to cost you something. You know, it might cost you just your time. That's a big one today. You know, people are so busy, they don't have time. I have a hard time getting volunteers. Sorry? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and really, when you don't have enough time, really what you're saying is what I have to do is more important than that, whatever it is, right? What I have to do is the priority here. You know, it might even be a good thing, and I think that sometimes we get so caught up doing good things, you know, we can leave something important behind. I really, you know, we really need to pray and ask God to reveal to us where He wants us to put our energy. I mean, you have 100 people attached to the church probably, I'm guessing. You know, and so you've only got so much time, but if you ask God to direct where you go, you know, you'll experience what I've experienced the last 3 years, which is God's faithfulness. That's the only thing I can attribute to what we've got. We're, you know, everybody said you can't get into the schools. Well, we're in 5 of them. You know? Everybody said you can't be a member of more than one church. Like, I got 4 churches I go to. You know, because in God's book, there's only really one church. There's only really one church. You know, we build the walls, right? And then we protect them. Right? We protect the walls we build. Yeah, it's not God's church that has walls. You know, and if the church is all working the way the church is supposed to be working, then you're going to be loving the church over there. I think there's 3 churches on the island, or 4? 5? So are you working together with your churches, with the local churches? Or are you competing? Well, that's a good question, right? Like when the kids come to your youth group from another church, are you willing to give a couple of your kids to their church? Like, that's how... You see where I'm coming from? Like, God's not into competition, honestly. God is into cooperation. He doesn't compete. There's no competition, actually, with God. That's a beautiful thing, right? Yeah. Let's see. This is a big one for me. I'm sure it's a big one for most of us, right? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble enough is enough for today. Yeah. It also goes along with seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That verse, it's probably my favorite verse in the Bible because it keeps our perspective on faith and takes our perspective off of the world and the problems that we have here. But you know, if we do get caught up in this whole trouble thing, don't we? Like, even, you know, when I got to tell you another story of another kid. I learned so much from the kids, okay? This will be my last story. So I had this little girl, her name's Brooke, and it was in Ontario, and she gave her heart to Christ. I was reading John 3. I wonder why she gave her heart to Christ. But anyway, good piece of scripture, and she gave her heart to Christ that day. And then I took her to church. She'd never been to church. I took her to church, and somebody had died in the church. Like, I guess Paul died, did he? First I thought you were talking about me, but I was okay. I was okay when I realized it wasn't me. Anyway, so I took her to church. Somebody had died, and it was a bunch of people really sad. And she says, "Mr. McMurtry, why is everybody so sad when people go to be with Jesus? Why is everybody so sad?" I said, "Well, you know, it's hard for us to watch." But that really resounded within me, right? Because we get really, really sad, but when we should be really, really cheering, you know? And she was cheering. She was too much of a baby, you know? She received Christ as a child, you know? Yeah. Yeah, she received Him in the purest form. She just believed Him. Jesus says we have to come to Him as little children, right? Because they just believe. You know, we're the ones that complicate it all with the worry and the stress and the frustration. And, you know, but faithfulness speaks to believing. We just believe. Can you just believe today? Yeah. That's the finish. Let me say a little prayer. Father God, we thank You today that You are faithful. God, we've experienced that. I've heard testimonies of that here today. Lord, You are so amazing. God, You meet with us wherever we go. Even when we're in trouble, God, You're there. Even when we cause the trouble, You're there. Lord God, today we cry out for forgiveness, but we know, Lord Jesus, that You forgive us. We know that, God, You've set us on the path to righteousness and goodness. Lord God, I pray for this little church. Lord, You love it. It's dear to You. God, You have a plan here. God, even to bring speakers. God, You've got it all in Your hand. Lord, we just pray that, God, You would make this a place of faithfulness. Yes, God, I pray this blessing over this congregation right now. In Jesus' name, amen.